Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Left Curve. This time we have Mr. Hitesh Malviya here, and of course before we begin to dive deep into our various discussions, none of what we say is financial advice. We're just people on the internet. Please do your own research before you ape into anything. So Hitesh, we're very, very happy to have you here. Do you want to give like an introduction of yourself to the audience?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for inviting me, and it's my pleasure to be on your show, and I really like the name and everything. And about my intro is mainly I run an account called Hitesh.dth on Twitter, where I share a lot of data-driven stuff. Also, I also write long threads on a lot of different topics of crypto. Usually those topics which usually don't get those attention. So I'm the guy who try to bring attention on all those things which are kind of underrated right now. So that's one of the things. And originally, I have always been into building startups, and content is something which happened to me very recently, like in past 2 or 3 years. But before that, I was building a crypto media publication, but that was on the content side. But my role was not writing anything on the blog, but my role was to build that crypto media publication. So I moved into a different role recently. But as I always been into building startups, so that was always my first love. So I recently got into that recently, and I started building a product around crypto research and fundamental, and it is called DYOR. It goes with the name Do Your Own Research. And it is something where we help you to find out your investment, like based on data. You can probably get the good opportunity just by spending a couple of minutes, maybe 4 to 5 minutes, and you will get the right set of opportunity for you on different time frames. If you are a day trader, you will find something. If you are a long-term holder, you will find something. So we are trading data in a way where we are building indicator using the data, and the indicator is here to help you to navigate through the whole decision-making around crypto tokens. And why it is important, because right now, if you look at the whole discovery process around coins and crypto tokens, it is mainly dominated by this process where you generally look into the information on YouTube and Twitter, and you usually go to the crypto influencer with the kind of flashy lifestyle, and kind of they are someone who pretend like they know everything. It is kind of motion you always get whenever you watch their video and everything. And they rarely share any detail about the project, but they are always very confident wherever they share anything. Like, it is like they will be always like, this is something I know this will do well, and you should do, should buy it. It will go to 100x. That's the whole game here. And because you are relying on that particular person, just having this assumption that the guy knows everything, you might make money in the bull market, but you will also lose money in the bear market. But you will never learn the way how you should do. Four things. So one is what kind of composition should be there in your bag. So everyone is here to create their own sort of different bags, right? We all create a lot of different bags. In our bags, we have certain coins. No one has idea like what is the optimal kind of size of your bag, how many tokens you should include. And people just assume, and they are like, they just run their own kind of intuition and everything to select the kind of weightage also. Like, they have no idea about the weightage also. Even they, at the same time, they have no idea how to rebalance. Rebalance is a very important thing, but it is alien to a lot of retail investors. It is also alien to content creator, I would say, because they will never give kind of focus to rebalancing. They will never give focus to weightage. They will not give focus to risk management, which is very much important, because a lot of people, they often have unrealized profit on their wallet, but they usually don't take profit. In the end of the bull cycle, they will be like, they will become a bag holder basically. And we have all went through the same cycle. When I was new to the market, I also lost 95% of my capital back in 18 to 19 cycle. And everyone have the same kind of experience whenever they entered into the very first fresh cycle in crypto. But back in those days, you had no tools. Back in those days, you had no medium to actually make you aware about all these things. But now you have a lot of good content creators also at the same time. They are both kind of people are there. It's not only about those content creators which have kind of thing where they only shill, but we also have an emerging set of audience or emerging set of content creators which keep on sharing a lot of research driven content, mainly on Twitter. But right now, the problem right now is 95% of these people usually go to those kind of creators or those kind of people who usually speak very highly about a project, but only a few people who will probably consume content from those guys who talk very boring, because research is very boring. It's basically like whenever you write a long thread and everything and you ask someone to spend even 10 minutes to understand everything which is written there, and that is not enough, because ultimately in a long thread you will also do a lot of secondary reading on a lot of things which are mentioned, right? So the whole process for a retail, even if they want to get into the right set of investing and the right process of investing, it's a very long and very kind of long consuming process for them, where they might need to spend a couple of days to understand the whole thing around crypto, and because the information is very fragmented almost everywhere, the whole game is very tough. So people will not even try to enter, and it is something. At the same time, on a psychological level, people have already lost their attention span, so people they can't really spend more than 5 minutes. That's the conclusion I have arrived recently. So even if we want to build something where it is more research-driven, more data-driven, it should be, the action should be done based on that 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. If you give something to an audience in that 5 minutes, and they can analyze and everything, and they can make decisions using the data in the 5 minutes, then you might have an advantage, and then you might get users. Otherwise, there is no scope for any platform. So there is no scope if you are trying to build a platform where it is mainly, for example, if you take an example of Token Terminal or Messari or DeFi Llama, you have a lot of platforms, you have a lot of data. You will always get very overwhelmed with data. It is very hard to make a decision based on this data. Like, you might have used this platform and you might agree with that also. It is something like, even if you spend a couple of minutes and everything, like, it is something you will get data. This data is interesting. This growth is interesting. But what will I do based on the data I'm seeing right now? That's the main goal. That's the main objective to solve here. So we as a platform at DYOR is trying to bring that action part to the data, basically. So using data, you can also take action. So you can only take action when you have indicator. For example, I will tell you a very simple example of TradingView, right? So before TradingView, we had retail had no exposure to TA before TradingView, basically. But a couple of people had access, because people who used to run a broker house, who were brokers and everything, they used to have desktop applications and they used to run TA on their charts and everything. So these guys, whole intelligence around TA were only available to 1% of the people. What TradingView did? TradingView provided the indicator using the data which has been used by other people who were kind of pro in the game. So it democratized the whole game of TA, and a lot of people started using the indicator, and it became easy for them to do charting and everything. At the same time, they also provide a social layer. So TradingView is a kind of social FI application in a high-level term, because in TradingView, you have a social element, very strong social element, where all the people who are doing TA, they share their ideas and everything. A lot of people follow that. And they create, also these ideas go to a lot of different places. And a lot of people made their career using the TradingView indicator and everything. So it's a whole new game. So we are trying to build the same thing using the crypto native data, crypto on-chain data, where we are building indicator using the data. And then using indicator, you can do a trade and everything. At the same time, we also wanted to empower people to use this data to create their own strategy, their own boards. For example, if we build an indicator called the fair price model, for example, that's some kind of initial indicator we built on DYOR. It is a model which is based on supply and demand dynamics of crypto tokens, and it had 100% accuracy so far on Ethereum. So, for example, everyone was long on Ethereum recently, right? When the Ethereum ETF news broke out, but the model was kind of short, and right now it is in profit right now. And there were only few model. So there is no model actually in the market right now. It is the only model which is right now, which is available in the market, which can actually tell you what is the fair value of a crypto token. So it is working very well. So similarly, we are also building more and more indicators. So these indicators would be eventually you can use this indicator to even create your own board, basically, and create your own strategy, you create your own. You can also use it in the exchange way. You can also use these indicators in any kind of execution layer. So for now, what we are doing is the next plan is something where we also launch a couple of dashboard on Dune. So Dune, launching on Dune was something we need in testnet for us, basically, because we wanted to make sure that whatever ideas we are attempting, it should be validated in the public first, because we are trying a lot of new ideas out there. Everything is kind of very new, out of the box, very novel ideas, new primitives, because the whole indicator game was not there. So we are trying to be that guy who bring indicator to the crypto space, the crypto native indicator. So we've built an indicator called ORS, Optimized Relative Strength. It is on Dune right now, and we have this dashboard called Alpha Skinner. And it is the one of the most popular dashboard on Dune right now, and we are the second most popular creator on Dune right now, based on past 30 days. And we got around 300K widgets last month. A lot of people are using it almost every day. They're finding trades and trades and all. And this is something we found the PMF in a very public manner. In a very public POC manner. And this is very basic POC which we have done on Dune, but we really want to make it further. We'll develop it a very kind of good platform on DYOR main platform itself, where it will have better UX, it will have better data, it will have better indicator. And using the same base of ORS metric, this is an indicator, we are also proposing crypto indexes. So crypto indexes in so again, like we are the guy who are trying to bring new ideas. So we really want to bring new ideas to crypto index also. And we found few important problems around crypto indexes. You might be aware of this fact that there are many attempts around crypto indexes since past 6 to 7 years. All they are trying to capture retail, but no one has success had any kind of success till now. They might got some sort of mindshare from enterprise, but that is also very low. So what is why they are failing? Because the first thing is that like they are having that a lot of index companies, they are coming from a very TradeFi background. So they are mainly exposing into only 10 or 15 coins, very kind of large cap coins mainly. And second, like there is always a fund manager who is managing everything. There is a fund manager who is rebalancing, who is picking the whole selection of coins, and who is also picking the weightage and everything. So ultimately, the fate of your money and the fate of your investment depend on the intelligence of that particular person, right? Who is behind that whole rebalancing part and who is behind the whole creation part. And so here, like whenever you create an index, even if index is something, it's a very complex name for bag, basically. So like whenever even you create a bag, you have a bias. Right? You always have a bias. Everyone have a bias. So your bias will guide you like what kind of coins should be there, and your bias will guide you that what kind of weightage you will have. Your bias will guide you that what kind of rebalancing will you have. And whenever you have a personal bias, it can always go against market, and we have always seen that. So what is the best way to create an index? We feel it is something when you minimize the personal bias and you align with the market. Market will tell you like what are the best coins? That's the best way. And we figured out that ORS metric is what we built. It is mainly a market indicator. It is a market momentum indicator. It is something, it tells you today which are those coins which are kind of leading right now and which have a strong market performance. For example, right now the market is dead right now and a lot of coins are bleeding right now. But there are few coins which are performing right now. So whenever you see in a corrective market, whenever you see the few coins which have some sort of strength, they usually outperform. We have all seen that, right? So right now you are seeing, we are like on the dashboard side, we are seeing RWA is in the narrative. It is kind of leading right now. There are a few coins in RWA, Maple Finance and, TrueFi, no financial advice, but I'm just taking some reference here. They are leading right now. So if I buy these coins, there is a better chance that this coin might recover pretty well and they can probably perform better than other coins, I may have a bias to buy them. Right? So the whole game here is to create this index in a way where market will decide like which are those top 10 coins under different narratives, which are kind of best at this moment. At the same time, when we talk about the weightage part, the weightage should be also based on the narrative strength. So So everything start from narrative in this current market, and there is a lot of rotation happening around narrative, right? So you also need to make sure that if you have coins in different narratives, which narrative should have a higher weightage, and the narrative which should have a higher weightage, it should have a higher narrative strength, it should have a higher momentum in the market. That is how we are also designing the whole weightage also. Apart of like, so first part is building the composition of the index that is based on market momentum using the ORS metric. And the second is like providing the like, so distributing the right kind of weightage based on narrative strength. And the third part would be rebalancing. So rebalancing would be something where we are also like in the proposing short-term index. That's the kind of basic core of the indexes which we are proposing. It's a short-term index because right now we really want to focus on retail, and retail is not interested in long-term. Long-term for retail is 90 days, basically. Like even for you and me, long-term is 90 days. So we are like all the indexes which we are planning to propose, it would be like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 2 weeks or something. So for example, we build the index for 30 days. So in that 30-day index, rebalancing will be done in an order where we'll rebalance every week. So it will be rebalancing at the end of every week, end of first, second, third, fourth week. So for example, if we start with 10 coins, so in the end of first week, we'll double down on top performers and we'll reduce the kind of bottom five. So it is like moving money from bottom five to top five. Because even in the real-time scenario, even like in the manual scenario, you usually scale in whenever you see a conviction around any coin. Everyone start with five, couple of coins. When they scale to a one, scale into one particular coin, which are showing more strength, right? That is how the whole investing work. So we are also implementing the same kind of rebalancing where you will double down on winners and you will probably drop out all the losers, and that is how you will like evolve the whole basket, which might perform better than other coins. So that's
So,
the whole game.
thank you for like such an elaborate explanation of DYOR, because I think we've all been trying to use the platform every now and then. So I would also love to understand, for like an ideal customer who comes to the platform, how would you recommend him using some of the things that you just said? So let's say if we're looking at some of the indicators on the platform, like fair price or like on-chain growth, would you say that, hey, let's go to the PMF first, let's look at the Dune, let me tell you how to use it? Or how would you say the ideal customer journey looks like on the platform?
So it is something like, right now the discovery is happening through mainly the Dune dashboard. So that is where many people are kind of exploring and discovering coins and everything. So it is something like you should have also idea about what is your time frame of your trade you're looking at. So for example, if I'm a intraday trader, I'm looking for a trade for next 2 to 3 days or something. I will probably look for 24 hours time frame data, and I will look for those coins which are having a higher strength in 24 hour time frame. But I am the guy, if I'm looking for weekly swing a trade or something, I might look at 7 day time frame. So you need to select your time frame first, like what is your time frame you're looking at, and accordingly you can look at this similarly, you can look at for data in the same time frame. Initially you need to look at which is the top narrative in the particular time frame you're looking at. And then under that particular narrative, we can look at which are those coins which are leading right now. And the second way here is something which is, I think, is the best way. Whenever you find common coin in, let's say, you see RWA is a good narrative, for example, or if you right now to go to 90 days on a higher time information, it is something RWA is leading right now. So, for example, if you're looking for long-term trade, you might look for RWA. So whenever you go to RWA narrative, you will find four columns. First is like 24 hours, and second is like 7 day, 30 day, 90 day. If you find any coin which is common into all four time frame, so that is where the early trade also support and the long trade also support. It is a perfect combination of lower time frame strength and the higher time frame strength. That's your best bet basically. So whenever you see this kind of very common coins across all time frames, so that is something. That's an alpha basically. That is where you can probably, and once you get the alpha, you need to validate the alpha also. You can always validate the alpha by using TA. So once you get this is the good coin, you can do some sort of basic TA or something. You can do some charting, everything, or maybe you can look for TA ideas or something. And then you will figure out, and you will get the second confirmation also, and you will figure out, yeah, this is the coin which I should buy or I should not buy.
I think that was aptly put, and I think this was like a good mental model for someone who's, coming to the platform and trying to understand like what's how can I wrap myself around a lot of data? Because I think for our audience, primarily in this podcast, what we're trying to do is like, how can we, explain crypto to people who are new to crypto without the jargon? So that is why we called it the left curve, right? So I think this was like super interesting. But Adonis, you've been quiet for a while. So I'd also ask you, like, how is your research looking like? Like, when you go to buy something, what is your go-to mechanism? And, understand like what this looks like.
I mean, I'm really big on the idea of flow, so I really want to understand where consumer money is going to flow in on its own. So, like, where retail money is going to come in from. So, generally, if anybody follows along the podcast, they know I'm a big fan of Solana and I'm a big fan of Base both, because they definitely do have like some appeal to retail customers. But I think that once retail comes in, they tend to, at least in DeFi, have like a huge opportunity to make something out of nothing. One very specific example from today itself, Hitesh, is of course the ZK-Sync airdrop, right? The ZK airdrop. So can you also like talk a little about, what airdrops are and how they can be an opportunity for somebody who's like entered DeFi yesterday but is now listening to this somehow? Maybe it can help them as well, because to be very fair, airdrops still remain the fastest way to go from 0 to 1.
Yeah, I think right now what is happening in this recent time, it's something. So, like when we go went back to like the time when we had Arbitrum airdrop and like airdrop before them, it was something when only few people were there. Like it was a bear market, only few people were there. So supply demand ratio was kind of pretty good. So they had enough supply to allocate to all the people who were there. So everyone used to get something out of it, and it was a very passive way of getting airdrop also back in those times. Now what happened after, especially I think the Celestia airdrop, things changed, started changing completely. A lot of people started entering into the space, and they are here to make money fast, and they are just repeating all the steps very blindly without having any information around the protocol. And they have no clue what is ZK-Sync. They have no clue what is Starknet. That is why you are already always seeing this Starknet is a scam, ZK-Sync is a scam, because they have no clue what is the potential of their project, what is the utility of a token. So the whole awareness has been missing completely. It was not the case before Arbitrum airdrop, because there were only few people available, and we had no not much thing happening on the price action side also. So people had time, they were reading and they were exploring everything. But right now, it is very hard to do a fair airdrop. You can try, but there will be a certain portion, they will be always unhappy. Because I was checking that ZK-Sync wallet distribution or something, and I found around 30 to 40% people, they have had, I think, less than $100 TVL or something in ZK-Sync. So many people who come from that $10, $100 price range, they have only $10 to $100 to invest. And they are here to make 100K or something. So it is something, the way the whole content creation also happened in the airdrop hunting side, it is like selling dream basis. People have been selling dream to all the people who really want to make money, and they are at a very kind of they have no they have they have a very moderate kind of amount right now, but they really want to become rich very quickly. There is also a game around the meme coins, pump.fun, everything. It is like gambling basically. But in case of airdrop hunting, it is not a gambling. It is more like where they are grinding, like they are grinding almost every day with that hope. These guys are hard worker. A couple of people, they also do civil farming and everything. But even if you do civil farming, you need to spend more hours, right? You need to do a lot of activities on a lot of different wallets. So it is something where you invest your more amount or more time. It's something where you have extreme hope of making money. You always face disappointment at a very larger scale. That is what happening. That is why people are always angry after the airdrop. So what I'm seeing as a solution is, which should be the airdrop 2.0 farming kind of thing. It should be something where you should only invite those people who are really making effort to understand the protocol and project first, and And it should be something where you are not giving them money, but you are giving them an access to a community cell or something, which should be priced same as your previous round valuation, which you have given to VC or KOLs. That's the fair way of doing launch. And Nilion Network is doing that. I'm working with Nilion Network also as a contributor side. And Nilion is having this CoinList community cell very soon. And the price of the offering price is something very similar to KOL price. It is very similar to the previous round valuation. That is very, very fair. And they also launched this campaign, which is where you really need to spend 20 minutes to watch the videos, which they have amazing video around the information around the things they really want to build. They explain the problem around the privacy and everything and the personalized AI and everything. And then they also figure out, they also explain the solution which they are building. It is like providing the right kind of awareness about your project first, and you really need to spend that 15 to 20 minutes, because after you watch the video, then you can only answer the question. There is a quiz. You need to really answer the questions and everything, and your answer should be also right. Then only you will get ticket to the community cell. So that's the way, I think. That is how you need to filter out. You need to filter out all those people who are grifters, who are here to make money, and they are not adding any value to the ecosystem at all. They are the one who will probably fund your project right away if they even get less about what than they really expecting. For example, if a guy who got what is happening with GK Singh right now is a lot of people got 100k GK or something, right? But few people got 10k, few people got 20k. But people who got 10k or 20k, they are still not happy. They are like, this guy got 100k, I only got 10k. That is the core, it's a human problem. That's the quality, that's the kind of bad quality we all have, right? So we always compare. So that's the
problem. I think from what I remember, people were much happy. Like, the happiest I've seen somebody has been with two airdrops. One was Uniswap and one was Arbitrum. Nobody expected it. And Arbitrum, because again, people were so down banned because of market conditions. Yeah. They were just happy to receive the Arbitrum airdrop.
That is why Arbitrum managed to, TVL of Arbitrum and the activity of Arbitrum even grown very high after the airdrop. That's the only protocol. You can compare with any protocol. You want to find the retention in any protocol. I have done the study and everything. I will share the data. So why it happened? Because people stay there, because everyone was kind of happy, and they were those kind of audience which were there in the bear market. They were the kind of serious guy, and they stay to Arbitrum. They are kind of very loyal kind of communities there, and now is also doing good. It is a different story right now. Arbitrum is also getting into the wrong direction because of the very bad decision around DAO. It's like the gaming fund was, I don't think it's a good decision. A lot of people were not happy for that gaming fund, $200 million. So
I think on top of that, you mentioned the importance of narratives and even DYOR. I think you also mentioned AI in there. And I really have to bring this up because you seem to be the one of the few people who understand the allure of AI, but also do not negate the importance of meme coins. Right. Yeah. So both of them are different narratives in the cycle. Of course, we are big believers in AI, you know it. And we are also big believers in meme coins as well. So can you talk a little bit about picking sectors within the market that you want to double down upon? Imagine somebody new is entering into the market. It's very easy to fall into the shiny object syndrome and just have 20 different coins across five different sectors. You're failing to keep up with any of them. So can you talk a little bit about, concentrating on, meme coins and AI or any other combination? For example, somebody can say, DeFi lending and borrowing and RWAs. Yes. So how does one build that concentrated portfolio position?
So if you look at even the flow wise and even where the most money could be getting into, it is RWA right now. It likely get the attention from BlackRock. In that case, they are kind of working with Ondo also in some sort of capacity. From their build fund, they have the partnership also. So, an RWA is one of the narrative. It used to known as security token offering back in those days, 1780. It rebranded into the new narrative, but a lot of companies tried to build this whole thing, right? They have been trying to build it's been 6 to 7 years. So, the same case with SocialFi also in some way, because we had a platform called Steemit in 17, it started in 15. as it run. So it had the good time, 15 to 17. Then I think it died eventually. But Social 5 was an attempt. It was an early attempt. RW was an early attempt. And even for a matter kind of this whole decentralizing the GPU computing resource or something, it was also an early attempt. Golem was one of the project which raised ICO and everything. They were decentralizing the GPU and everything at that time. And also memes are always there, right? Memes are something you can't really ignore because memes are always there since nodes. I think nodes also started 14 or 15. So right now, when we look at the, so it is something where you also need to differentiate based on the intellectual level of people, right? So a lot of people who are not that intellectual capability and something, and a lot of people are always looking for short term. So, and at the same time, I already mentioned the attention span time problem and everything. They will always look for simpler thing. And also people have more and more greed, and they really want to make money fast. So memes will dominate basically in this cycle. Now it's up to you how you play with memes. There are two ways. One way is something where you become a kind of proper gambler or something, and you become a smoke kind of smokehead or something, and you go to pump.fun or something, and you buy everything, all these coins and everything. That is something I think I will not do that. I have never done that, and a lot of people, I think a lot of Indians will not do that because we really value money. But US as a target audience and Australia as a target audience, people who spend money on stake or who spend money on Rollbit and everything, these are the ideal audience for pump.fun. It is kind of Rollbit on steroid basically. So that is that has that, that we have also seen in the case of pump.fun. Most of the traffic is coming from US, but the Asian will go to more fundamental driven choices where I think RW and AI will dominate, will dominate basically.
Do you think the recent Apple announcement, by the way, had any impact? Apple recently came out with
Yeah,
WWDC.
so, but I think so
So
AI will have it. So AI is a large category, like apart from the crypto part, it's a major theme in the market right now. Attention wise, even the technological advancement wise, it is the core of attention in the whole world right now. So it will have a direct impact to all the crypto AI. It will be so AI will become a kind of crypto AI might go through a larger cycle, I believe. And also have a correction meanwhile. So we might see a larger rally for crypto AI, but the rally would also go through a lot of series of correction, what we have seen in the past three small waves around AI, right? And in the every crypto AI wave, you will find different kind of subcategories will be emerged. Because in AI, you will find a lot of subcategories are there because AI is also having some sort of intersection with other industry also.
Yeah.
AI gaming, AI DeFi, AI RW could also be put. So AI could be probably used in any kind of category, basically.
Yeah.
Same time, AI, you will also find subcategories like ML trading, subcategories like GPU, subcategories like AI agents, right? So right now, like the theme which I really believe which will go up in the coming months under the AI, it is one which is BitTensor ecosystem, because BitTensor is building a decentralized open AI. And right now, BitTensor is this is very recently they started building the ecosystem. It's a very new thing, like it's only been 3 to 4 months. And
Yeah.
the ecosystem is also growing, and not many people are talking about because they always care about price action. But behind the scenes, a lot of things are happening in the BitTensor ecosystem. So many projects from BitTensor ecosystem, they might see some sort of positive feedback loop around price action also. At the same time, AI agent as a category could also do well because it is also a lot of people are talking about, because after OpenAI allowed people to create their own agent or something, and there are many different platforms they are coming with the AI agent creation and everything. And AI agent is something which is more scalable because ultimately everyone want to create their own AI, right? Everyone wanted to create their own knowledge base because they really need to create their own character and train them and everything. It's all about how a crypto AI agent platform, they democratize the whole thing, like how they can make it more easy, where people can really train, people can really create a knowledge base, and they can train their knowledge base using their own voice, basically. So that is actually, I also looking for the same thing since so many days, that if I get this platform somewhere where I can probably upload my own tweets, like the whole history of my tweets and threads, and create a knowledge base around it. And I train the response using my voice, basically. So if someone has this query, for example, if someone asks me, what is AI narrative? So I already written about AI narrative. So my voice will probably give that answer to that public, that guy who is looking for the answer, right? So this kind of AI agent will work, right? So we need to figure out which are those. So there are many crypto AI companies. There is one company called Spectral Finance. There is one company called Fala is there. Fala is also very much active in this direction. A virtual protocol is there. So which project will come to that kind of user experience where you can really simply anyone can make their agents and they can create knowledge base and train their AI on the knowledge base, and they can easily use in the public, and they can also share everywhere they want, right? Basically, they can also distribute their own AI agent in a very simple format. So yeah, that is where I'm excited around the AI domain. Also on the GPU side, I think GPU is very interesting category again, you know. But it's a capital incentive category where you have more capital, you will dominate the industry basically. So in GPU side, we had Akash, but Akash is not having that kind of resource around S100. Right now, we have two main players, you know, which are kind of the very new players. They will also launch a token very soon. One is IONET and second is Ether. Ether is something they have a large pool of GPU resources. They raise around 120, $110 million also through the node sale and everything. And IONET is something where they are playing very smart. They are aggregating all the resources basically. So they are the front end, and these guys are the back end, which are providing resource to IONET. And IONET will work as a distribution channel for that. So both these projects will be very interesting to look at, I think. Any of them might become a major player in the future.
I think I'd love to also ask you, like, there are so many AI agents popping up every now and then, and you even talked about, like, you know, building your own AI agent where you can, you know, have that voice thing for your own tweets. I'd love to also understand, are you yourself using any of these AI agents on a day-to-day basis that a lot of crypto teams are building, or you think that
I
it's
want
still?
to. I was exploring, but I didn't find the right one.
Oh yeah.
I connected.ai also. It's a Web2 kind of AI agent kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is also very like. So they are mainly like the. They really don't give you that option to upload your own knowledge base.
Yeah.
Because AI is a niche basically, right? You can create a, like. So I think there is no scope to general purpose LLM in my opinion, because you really can't get all the information the very right way in a general purpose LLM. You really need to create niche-wise LLM. There should be LLM for medical. There should be LLM for different kind of industry, different kind of expertise, basically. So even in case of crypto LLM, you really want to find a right crypto LLM. You know? It is all over the places. All crypto LLM are basically shit. Right.
Yeah, and I think maybe we'll see like fine-tuning better in the AI models, or perhaps we'll see like better databases coming up moving forward. But I think, yeah, it has been super cool talking. But last few questions, like we also wanted to understand, like there are so many things happening in the ecosystem right now. Let's say by using DYOR, let's do that chill again, that where would you see us and try to hunt alpha more often? Like, what is that one sector where you feel that the attention is currently not there? I feel RW and some of the other ones we already talked about, there's like a lot of retail interest there. Like, even if we see reports for Q1, we see that RWA has been like one of the best performing sectors in that whole first quarter of like the year. So I would say, what is that one thing that people are not looking at? Because like we see rotations, there was this whole Rune saga where we saw that, you know, a lot of these Nakamoto and others came up, then it went down. We're seeing like BTCL2 shut down suddenly. So because it seems like a lot of interest has gone back to, you know, EVM and some of the others. So what is that one thing you feel where people are not looking right now?
I think there is an emerging narrative right now, which is called chain abstraction. You know? So it is something which is everybody is trying to build the whole narrative out of it. And it is something which will become a talk of the town very soon. Next, whenever we have a good price session around the crypto.
Yeah.
In that category, like Near is kind of a leader in chain abstraction, and you have Connext. They had a rebranding also recently. And you have Socket, and you have a couple of more, I think. So
it's a very small category, but it is a emerging category. At the same time, RWA, you have two categories. One is RWA tokenization, where a lot of people have their focus on, which is mainly around Ondo. But the emerging one is RWA lending, because early on, what was happening in the RWA lending, you need to do KYC and everything to get that 10 to 15% yield on your stable coin, because in RWA lending, usually your stable coin, they got lent to those people, mainly institutional borrowers, basically. So they offer you the higher yield. You have example like Goldfinch there, TrueFi there, Clearpool is there, and also Maple Finance is there. Maple Finance is sort of leader in that particular category. So what Maple Finance has done recently, they launched this new protocol called SerifFi. So SerifFi is something which allow you to participate in this whole RWA lending without doing any KYC. So that's a game changer. It is like breaking the whole barrier, you know, because it was a barrier for a lot of people to do KYC and everything. And it was also something where you also need to do some minimum kind of check and everything before SerifFi. But after SerifFi, you will find a new kind of primitive where all the people could be allowed to do RWA lending to institutional borrowers. And they can, so the whole game is around yield, basically. So in DeFi, it's all about yield. And that is why Pendle is also growing, you know, because they are boosting the yield to a next level. And also at the same time, a lot of people are also missing out the whole game around EigenLayer AVS, right? Because ultimately, the whole purpose of restake your Ethereum is something where AVS will give you that yield. So that AVS giving yield part is not started yet. So there will be two kind of way. Right now, initial phase, it should be more like they will probably incentivize the whole yield through their own token. They might run a point program and everything. They will try to involve people to create the whole speculation and everything. It will be something similar playbook what we have seen with Renjo and EtherFi, I believe. But it is something where we will see a lot of more participation from airdrop hunter also. And also say at the same time, people who have restaked the Ethereum, they will also started getting more and more yield from AVS. And and AVS will have token and everything. So I think, but at the same time, I think I am really think about this whole thing a lot of times, because all the EigenLayer AVS ecosystem is mainly VC-backed. You know, whole play is VC-backed. So that's the main problem when it comes to retail, because if you are retail and if you are buying that token on day one after the listing, you will probably lose money. And we can also have the remote data for that. We also launched a dashboard around it and everything. So on average, you always lose money. So it is something if you are early to that. So being early is like there are two ways. One is something if you are a KOL or if you are a VC or something, you can always get early, but you can also farm this airdrop. That is again very problematic right now. So I think right now it is something, Chain launch will also get more limelight, you know. We have seen there is not much happening on the Fjord Foundry recently, you know. Not many people are talking about it, but you see one launch which do some crazy gains or something, people will start talking about Fjord Foundry again, and there might be more and more platform like Fjord Foundry in the near future, better platform basically with better curation. And Fail launch is something I think it have highest potential, bro. I think project which do fail launch at a, for example, if I'm an AI project and I do a fail launch at 10 million, so getting into that 100 million valuation is kind of very easy for me at listing, right? So that is something where I think we'll eventually reach to that stage, because a lot of people want that. There's a demand right now. A lot of people are looking to get into the fail launch. A lot of people wanted to have that kind of similar valuation as VCs and KOLs and everything. So we'll reach that eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're already seeing this like large demand on our side at RadarBlock, that a lot of new AVS infrastructure teams are coming up and they're saying that, hey, we need help with marketing and we need help with these things, A, B, C, D, E. But what we've seen really well is like there are a few things that are coming up who are trying to, you know, democratize the whole AVS ecosystem. I think Adonis is already working with a bunch of them. So he's the king of AVSs in our team. And
bro, I would love to.
Bro, start an AVS. Start an AVS, because the thing is that, or start like an operator actually, right? Because if you're an operator, you're getting 10% flat fee from all the AVSs you're securing.
Oh,
okay. That's 10% flat. So right now, starting an operator is a very, very, very good business model. But yeah, I think in the interest of time, I would also like one last question I ask to everyone, Hitesh, is that you've been on the show. I hope you really enjoyed your time. But I wanted to ask, like, who is one Web3 chad you would love for us to also bring onto the show as well?
There are many. I think there are many. I like many guys. I think Ignis is good. Ignis DeFi is very good. He's good guy. So he's like very pro in DeFi, and he has whenever he writes very often, not very often, but only sometimes these days. He used to be very active early on, but he has the right vision around a lot of things.
Very interesting. And I
Got
think
it.
this is more about the time where, like a lot of people have started their own chains. And like I was telling Adonis that, hey, if you're trying to be big as a marketing agency, you should start like your own chain at this point. But I think we'll see that shift in the market where we try to see like, hey, it seems like building
Operator.
is like the old thing. Now let's build like an AVS or an operator because
Yeah,
this
that
is
is better.
like the
It's much better, bro. It's like you are making revenues. That is always better.
Yeah.
So I think all three of us, we should start like another conversation
We can do, bro. I'm fine
that.
for that. Let me know whenever you have plan.
For
I
sure,
think
man.
it was wonderful having you, and it was like such a great conversation. To be honest, like I felt like we were consuming more because there was like so many good points that you were sharing
Yeah.
that I felt like it was so much to learn. So it was great having you.
I have to load up my
Thank
RWA bags, basically. That's what I got from the conversation. I have to load up the RWA bags.
I'm just happy that the alpha screener thing, I've been using it for the longest time, and I like the fact that I didn't know about this. Like we talked in like Dubai when we met last time that, hey, you told us a bit about that and the Dune is live and some of the other things will be coming up. So I saw that it was like being trending here and there because I was seeing like in the Dune side. But it's good to know that you guys got the PMF and now you're moving to like building more comprehensive stuff on top of that. So finding PMF is big. At least from a crypto perspective, like I want to understand how many people have PMF here and like what is the actual utility of a lot of things. So congratulations on that, and we wish you best of luck.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Yeah, man,
Yep.
it's been a good journey so far. And yeah, great chat, bro. Great chat. I'm really sorry. I had a bad throat since so many days. So because
It's all right, man. We're all
I need
humans.
time to get the kind of relaxation around my throat because I was having the calls almost every day. So I need to
Yeah.
take a break soon, very soon.
Yeah. I mean, that's the three for you. And to our audience, if you love the show, please do give us a follow at Radar Block and our individual accounts at 0x Adonis Cyril and at Blingono. And make sure you follow our guest Hitesh as well at HMalbia9. That is all from our end for this episode. And I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you so much for watching. Take care of yourselves.